Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Well, I didn't know what I was going to speak about this morning. Because I was terrified from last night. My knees were shaking. What do I preach about? God. And I struggled. Even now, I'm still struggling. And I didn't know what I was going to say. But when my brother was talking about Egypt a few minutes ago, just the revelation came upon me. And so that's what I want to speak about this morning. Amen. Are we together, church? All right. Let me speak from Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. You need to be well positioned. You need to be well positioned if you are definitely going to heaven. You need to be well positioned. And I want to read Exodus chapter 8, well-known scriptures, and we'll read a number of scriptures. Chapter 8. That's the second book in the Old Testament, those who don't know the geography of the Bible. Okay, now Egypt had been flooded with all kind of plagues and, you know, things which were going there, the frogs, the different things which were happening. And at that time, frogs had even come into the palace, frogs in the houses, in the offices. If there were colleges, frogs all over. On your bed, there were frogs everywhere. And ladies want to cook, there's a frog that jumps in the frying pan. Everything was beset. Everything was wrong. And Pharaoh said to Moses, please pray to God that God will help us take away all these frogs. When should I pray to God for God to take away these frogs? And listen to verse 8 and 9, 9 and 10. 9 says, Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. I give you the privilege, the honor, to choose for me to ask God to pray that these frogs must leave your house. I give you the honor. But what does the Pharaoh say? Verse 10, he says, tomorrow, procrastination. We'll do it tomorrow. And how often many people, God visits them in a special way, and yet they say tomorrow. God comes to you in a special way to touch your problem, to lift you up from your situation, from your condition, and yet you say tomorrow. And some of it is fear of people. Or fear of friends. You don't make a definite, intelligent decision because of fear. So you say, tomorrow, I still have time. I'm still a young man. I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow comes, it will be tomorrow again. When tomorrow comes, it will be tomorrow again. Because the devil doesn't want you to come to salvation. So he would make you say tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And while you are saying tomorrow, you are drawing, your life is drawing to the cliff to go down to hell forever and ever. So that's why he's drawing you. Your life is being drawn to that cliff. But he's telling you tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And so that's the danger of ignorance, the danger of ignoring the warning from the living God. And so Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Now, can you imagine? Frogs are on your bed, frogs in your food, frogs almost everywhere. You can't even walk everywhere, the frogs. And you say, tomorrow. If it were me, I would have said, right now. I want these frogs to leave me right now. But you want one night to sleep with them. And that's what we do. We have things in our hearts. And they play things in our lives. God speaks to you over the radio, over the preachers, or in the church. Or God has so many ways, even speaking to you through creation. And yet you say tomorrow. And how many times you have harbored things in your life and you said tomorrow? Even those we call Christians, you know, Christians. Christians can be a Catholic, can be a Baptist, can be a prostitute, can be anybody. In fact, Jesus never used the word Christian. This word Christian was a derogatory word to the born again, to the believers. And Jesus talks about believers who believe in him. Now, Christians and believers are two different creatures. Are we together? Anybody can be a Christian. Anybody can be a Christian. A drunkard, a prostitute, I was baptized in this church or that church. Anybody can be a Christian. But a believer is different. A believer, when he turns around, like my brother was sharing his testimony just a minute ago, what a powerful testimony. Huh? When you turn around, you mean business. A believer means business. And a believer doesn't say tomorrow, he says now. Because now it is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow belongs to the devil. But God is a God of now. When you want to do action, he is a God of now. When I heard the message, I had my AK-47. Some of you are born again with your Bibles in your hands. Me, I was born again with an AK-47, with two revolvers. And when I heard the message, it was not a day of tomorrow. It was now. And I did it now. And when I did it now, it was a turnaround. When I did a turnaround, I meant business with God. I knew my fellow guerrilla fighters will kill me. And I was stabbed twice on my back for accepting Jesus. And you have never been even slapped. But I was stabbed twice for accepting Jesus. My first Bible was torn into pieces. You know, following Jesus, a believer is someone who says, hey, Jesus, I'm following you and I mean it. But Christians will play around. Christians can, you know, do a little bit of sex, do a little bit of this and that, you know, because they are Christians. Hey, you are looking at me as if I'm ugly. Wow. Wow, she told me that I was the most handsome man in the world. So I believe what he told me. Yeah, amen. Wives, please tell your husbands you are the most handsome man in the world. Wow. And so Pharaoh says tomorrow. Now we go on same chapter, verse 23. Verse 22 says, "But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen." And because I didn't go to Bible college, I didn't have the theological training and so on, so I said, "God, teach me by seeing things." So I made a point that God will send me to these places I read in the Bible. So I went to Egypt. Went to these places like Goshen and all those places to see for myself what. Then I stayed there and climbed my, you know, Mount Sinai to see where, you know, the Ten Commandments. I said, "Wow, this is what you did." The Bible became alive. And my preaching became alive. Because it was not hearing, it was seeing what I was reading. Are we together? So, the land of Goshen, up to now, it is as fertile as it was that time. You don't put fertilizer in the land of Goshen. They don't use fertilizer. It's illegal. And the crops are as good as anything. And I carried one cabbage, was one to shoulder, one cabbage. That's how big one cabbage was. You see the crops, the grapes, everything. Man, what a wonderful place. The land of Goshen. That's where the children of Israel were. Then he says, "I'll deal differently with the people in the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms or flies will be there. So that," this is the reason, "so that you will know that I, God, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow." So it will make a distinction. When God comes in the Baptist church, he comes in the Presbyterian church, he comes in the Shofar, there is already a distinction of God's people and Pharaoh's people. Every church you go, around the world, no matter where you go, there is always a distinction of God's people and Pharaoh's people. The way Pharaoh's people behave is that they have legs on both sides. They have a leg in the world, a leg in the church. They are like when my young brother and I were dumped by our mother. We lived under a bridge and we we used to go to the garbage bins and we'd pick up pap, you know pap, Yeah, Nsima. In Malawi we say Nsima. In Zimbabwe we say Sadza. We put it on the newspapers. But to find relish to eat with those pap, would go fishing with my brother. And by the river, my brother would catch a big fish. And where I was sitting, I would catch a frog. And my brother would catch another fish, and I would catch another frog. And my brother fed fish, and me fed frog. Then my brother, young brother, was grown, you know, he's tough, big, left-handed. Now, never mess around with left-handed people. When they beat you, it's like a Scud missile. And so I said, now, because I was a thin, pathetic boy like a mosquito, and so I said, "I can't beat my brother. So what must I do?" So I took one frog with a razor blade, and I said, "I want to see the heart of the frog." And I started operating it. My brother, "Hey, man, don't do that. And then he moved that side. So I moved where he was sitting. I said, "Yes."
So he's gone there now, moved where he was. So where he went there, he caught a big fish. And me, another frog again. I said, now, why frogs? Then another fish and then another frog. So I had seven frogs and he had seven fish. So the one big one, I tied the twine on the leg of the frog. I said, I will treat you badly today. And then the frog hopped into the water and brought it out. It hopped into the water and brought it out, hopped in the water and out. And that's what the devil does. You hop into Christianity, takes you out into sin. You hop into Christianity, takes you out into sin. You wonder, why is my life not living on the peak of Christianity? Why am I living a defeated life all the time? Hey, your heart is a twine. Cut loose of that twine. Don't say tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. For how long you have that twine in your life? So God says, I'll put a distinction between your people and my people. God was dividing his people and Pharaoh's people. Now, it is go on. Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, hey, give us time for 3 days' journey. We want to go to the desert to worship the Lord. Please give us time. As the children of Goshen, we want to go and worship the Lord for 3 days in the desert. Listen, verse 23, what does it say? Are we together? Yeah, verse 23, he says, I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miracle sign will occur tomorrow. And then verse 25, then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and says, go, sacrifice your God here in the land. Go and sacrifice the Lord here in the land. That for Pharaoh, that was not a big problem at all. The devil has no problem. He said, go and worship the Lord, but it must be here in the land. Remember, Egypt is a picture of sin. And the devil wants you to play and worship the Lord here in the land of sin. That's where he wants you to worship the Lord, to bow down there. Because when you bow down in Egypt, you mix with their gods. And how many times we mix with the gods of this world? There's a God of our cars, God of our houses, God of our, you know, employment, God of our achievements, academic gods. Those have become our little gods. God has become a little god in a small box we use when we have difficulties. That's the type of God we use. We don't take him as God. For me, when I was determined to follow God, I was serious with God, and I'm still as serious as I was. That's why I'm very conscious about my life, very conscious about these praises that come to me. I'm very conscious about this spirit of pride. Very conscious. You know, we as preachers, we go around, especially when you go around the world, people talk about, you know, your name. You say, God, is this me? Are they talking about me? Sometimes they elevate you, you know, you too high, what you are not. Me, I'm just Jesus' dog to bark at the sins of people. That's all. I'm Jesus' donkey to carry him from point A to point B. If I can carry my Savior to another place, man, I feel satisfied. Amen. Because when they put the palm trees there, it's not for me, it is for my King, Jesus, on my back. So here he says, I will let you go. And then listen what the response of Pharaoh, verse 26, that would not be right. For some of us, oh, that's fine, king. Because he's the king speaking, that's fine, say, your majesty. Say. But Moses says, no, that will not be fine. That will not be right. The sacrifices we offer the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will not stone us. Verse 25. Verse 25, Pharaoh said, I will let you go. You are saying no, worshiping God here in Egypt, but I will let you go. I will let you go, offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the desert. But, in Afrikaans it's mar. Eh, is that right? Mar. Kodwa. Asi in Shona. I will let you go. If I told Rachel, honey, you are the most beautiful woman in the world. You are gorgeous. I like the way you smile. I like the way you talk. I like the way you wiggle your body and so on. I like who you are. But then I stop there. If I stop there, the whole compliment is nullified. Are we together? If I stop it, but the whole compliment is nullified, canceled. Pharaoh says, I'll let you go. In the desert land where you want to go and worship, go. But do not go very far. You can go and worship your God, but do not go very far. The devil has never stopped anybody to become a pastor, to become an evangelist, to become a deacon or play music in the band or so on. No, the devil has never. Don't even hear from people who say, oh, the devil stopped me. Never. It's a lie. The devil has never stopped anybody to become a Christian or baptized, eat Holy Communion. He says, go and worship the Lord your God, but do not go very far. Why is he saying do not go very far? He will say, go and worship the Lord, but what the devil doesn't like you to do is to go as far as the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what the place he doesn't like you to go. Don't go as far as the cross of Jesus. Because if you go to the cross, he knows you are going to fall down. You are going to cry. You are going to pour out your sins there. But to worship God anywhere, he says, go. But don't go very far. As far as the cross. Don't reach the cross. That's why we have so many pastors who have come into ministry, but they've never reached the cross. Pastors, preaching the gospel very well, but they've never been as far as the cross of Jesus. People who are almost misleading people around the world. Many people are also being worshipped. You find pastors now who have bodyguards. I mean, afraid of what? Afraid of what? That your anointing will be stolen? Afraid of what? I was invited in Cyprus by the Archbishop to preach in Cyprus. When we were landing there in Cyprus, the captain says, Stephen Lungu and Stephen Mungoma and Edward Muhima, please remain on board. I said, ma, what have we done? But, it was so hot. We were flying from Egypt to Cyprus. It was hot, 42 degrees.
And we were wearing our shorts and flip-flops. Eh? So we were landing there, and then we remained. And here comes with these sunglasses, the secret police. They pick up our briefcases and they took us to the presidential, lounge. And we were there being served tea, the goodies there. And then each one of us were assigned my chauffeur and my limousine and my bodyguard. First time I had a bodyguard. Yeah. So I went to my limousine, sat at the back. I was laughing all the way to the hotel, this 5-star hotel. I was giggling, laughing with my shorts, with my flip-flop, with the chauffeur driven. So we went there, and then 2 days later, I begged, please, I don't want a bodyguard. No. We didn't know that the Archbishop is actually the head of state, is the president himself. So we assigned all this, but we begged, please, we don't want these bodyguards. The same went to Switzerland with my wife. My wife had 3 women bodyguards and I had 5. She went to the ladies. These ladies followed her. And me, I went to just to pray somewhere. They were around me standing. I said, please, I don't want bodyguards. And I pleaded, if you don't, please fly me back. And I was serious. And so they had to take away all those bodyguards. Even at the hotel, at both sides of the doors, they had these security guys. They removed. I said, no, put us in a pastor's house. Take us out from this 5-star hotel. And they struggled, but then they had to take us out from the 5-star hotel. We went to the pastor's house. We felt, woo, free at last. Oh. These protocols were too much for me. So what I'm saying is that, pastors who have never reached the cross, they love these very much. They like them. One in Malawi, when he's preaching, someone must come and fan him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. Yes, you are not funning me, man, today. And I will be proud it would be a white man doing that to a black man. Yeah, I'll say it was a white man for me. As if there's sanctification from a white man. So they say, go, but don't go where? Very far. Are we together, Christians? So often the devil has said, go, go, go. But, he doesn't want to go you as far as the cross. Brother Sears was saying, there are some of you who are struggling with things of the past. Struggling with some bondages. Because what you need to do today is just step into the cross. And all these things will be nullified in your life. I struggled for 5 years when I was born again. I told you I was very anti-white, very anti-white. There was no way I could stay near a white man. I vowed that the only time I greet a white man is when I kill him first, then greet him later. That's how I vowed. This was Stephen Lungu. But the moment I came to Christ, I was born again, truly born again. Who picks me up from the streets, from the bridge? Who picks me up? It was a white man. Not just a white man, an Afrikaner. Are we together? The people I hated most, it was an Afrikaner. God uses an Afrikaner to pick me up from the bridge, and I was stinking, smelling. And he gave me my first bath. You should have seen the color of water. It was darker than me. Wow. That's where I'm coming from. Lies floating over on the water. That was me. And he found me with my shorts, which had two windows at the back. And I'd never worn shoes in my life. And it was this Afrikaner who bought me my first pair of shoes when I was 22 years old. And you should have seen me walking with my first pair of shoes like a robot that day. Oh. And I would smile at my shoes. But you know, that's where I'm coming from. But 5 years, this man gave me food, shelter, but 5 years every night, I wanted to kill him. Every night, my past was still haunting me. Kill this white man. During the day, we would go and preach the gospel. Thousands of people come to Jesus, but in the evening, I would want to kill him. That's how I was struggling. But after 5 years, I went to Victoria Falls near the bridge there. I said, God, I've come here to die. I will never preach from today. I will never preach. I'm struggling with this hate for what against white men. Why, God, why? How can I be a preacher and hate a white man? And so I said, God, I know there are lions here. I just want to die. And I was there 7 days, no food, no water, crying to God. And I would hear lions at a distance, but I was determined to die unless God dealt with me. And second day, I was becoming weak. Third day, weaker and weaker. The seventh day, I said, God, you have me your last day. If you don't do anything, this is your last day. I'm giving up. And that day at 3 o'clock, holding my Bible, is like there was a certain type of wind blowing my Bible, page after page, and come to Genesis 41. It was in Genesis 41, God used the story of Joseph and his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh means God has made me forget all my troubles and all my father's household. So when he was saying Manasseh, he was saying God has made me forget all my trouble. What trouble? Joseph was in trouble with his brothers. He was in trouble with his brothers because he was made as a servant, as a supervisor. Yeah, was made as a supervisor over his brother. He was the youngest, supervising his elder brothers. That's causing trouble. Eh? When you are father, you're causing trouble. And then they would look at it. Hey, there comes that boy. And also he was in trouble with his dreams. I like people who dream in church. And let those dreams put you in trouble. Amen. Hey, Christians, sleep, man. Hey, I want you to dream for shofar. Dream great things for shofar. And explain those. Just share the dreams. Let the church explain the dreams. You just do the business of sleeping, dreaming, sharing it. Let them interpret it. Hallelujah. Are we together? Praise the Lord. If you want to sleep now, you can sleep and then dream for us. But he was a dreamer and they called him, hey, there comes that dreamer. There comes that dreamer. He was in trouble with his dreams. I remember Martin Luther King was saying, I have a dream. He said, I have a dream. 40 years later, what Martin Luther had said, first black American president came by the name of Barack Obama. And I was invited to go and preach to this black American 40th dream on Martin Luther residence. I was the speaker. And I spoke on that same dream. I have a dream. It was a great honor to go and speak to these African Americans on that day. And that was the week also Obama had won the elections. And I was there at this largest crowd. But here is this young man who dreamt and then he was in trouble. So you know the story. They grabbed him. They threw him in the dungeon. And when he was thrown in the dungeon, they lifted him out of the dungeon. They sold him away to Egypt. That's the principle of God. When he's working in your life, you have problems in situations where he wants to position you. When God wants to position you, he uses these troubles to position you. But often we fight against these troubles. We fight against these situations. No, why God, especially, you know, ladies, they are experts in complaining. Oh, some of them have got master's degrees in complaining. Every time. Now, if you go on, we give you a PhD. Ooh, ma. And they were complaining. No, God sometimes uses situations in your life. For me, to take me from this place, God, he knew Stephen, when he's stuck on his calling, I'm stuck. But God, to move me there, has to use situations from in my life to push me to another level. And he pushed me to another level, pushed me to another level. So my life has been going from higher, higher, but it has been being pushed by situations in my life. They were not easy. They were tough. But the more I went higher, the more God was blessing me in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Wow. And then behind me, there is an intercessor who is my wife. Man, what a great woman of prayer. If it were not for prayers, her prayers, I wouldn't have been here preaching where I preach. But I thank God for her prayers. She spends more hours on her knees to pray for me. What a great woman. So that's why I'm afraid, you know, to give her problems. Because I say, hey, this is a saint of God. If I start problems, I'm in problems. So I thank God. So he pushes you to another level. So when he sent him to Egypt, he was being sent as a missionary. But God was using circumstances to push him to the higher level to go to be the vice president of Egypt. But it was the circumstances which were pushing him there. On his own, he couldn't have gone to Egypt. But God has to use circumstances to push him higher. Are we together? Maybe you are going through those circumstances in your life. You feel, God, why this? At work, things are not going well. Boss doesn't like you, or this doesn't. Things are not going well. God is using all those circumstances to lift you up higher. Amen. Man, you are quiet, man. Hey, are you with me? I'm about finishing because if I continue, you will not invite me again. I want to close. He says, I will let you go, but don't go very far. But there were conditions, there are things Moses had to do to go to that desert land, and four things quickly. Hebrews chapter 11. Four things. Quickly we go, and then I close, and then I zip my mouth. Four things. If you really want to move out from this situation, do four things. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. To move out from Egypt to the promise, to the desert to pray, to worship the Lord, number one, you must do this. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, number one, he refused. My brother, my sister, if you don't learn how to refuse to be dominated by Pharaoh in your life, then you'll go back to Egypt. That's what my brother was saying earlier on. Number one, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, from today, I'm not going to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm breaking this connection. I'm breaking this, you know, relationship. From today, I will not be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, I don't want to be Pharaoh's son anymore. I refuse. But any refusal doesn't help you to find victory. You can refuse. Many people have refused, have divorced their husbands, and in a short while they've come back together. There are so many husbands, I don't know here in Stellenbosch, but somewhere in Malawi, men use this thing to their wives. If you don't use this thing, they use the tongue. The tongue is the worst. Some women say it's better a husband who beats you than the one who talks too much. And then you are beaten, and then with a big eye which looks like a Christmas balloon, and you are angry. He says, no, I'm leaving this house. So you go to the marketplace, you hire a truck while the husband is at work, and you pack up everything, the furniture, the clothes, and his suits, and his neckties, his underwears, everything. You pack up everything. You go to Port Elizabeth. He said, I don't want this man anymore. I'm leaving him. And the husband comes at 5 o'clock. He sees the house just as the builders left it. Nothing, not even a toothpick. Everything is gone. If you were to ask, has this woman really divorced this man? No. Why did he take his suits? Why did she take all his underpants, his socks, his shoes? Does she wear all those? No. What she has done is that the man must follow. She has taken all these things that this man must follow. That's what we do. We say, no, Egypt, away from Egypt. But we take some of the things from Egypt. We take them into the church. So the devil says, now, if you say you don't want me, how about these lies? How about the gossip? How about the prostitution? How about this? You tell me that you don't love me, but you are taking my things in the church. And so you wonder why you are struggling in your Christian faith, because you are carrying some of the things that belongs to the devil. The only thing today is, says, God, today I surrender. I'm leaving completely. I'm making a definite strategic decision in my life. I'm deciding for you. I want to position myself for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When he refused, that refusal doesn't help. In verse 25, when he refused, you must do the second step. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Sin is for a short time. It's not for a long time. A young girl have sex with a boy and then becomes pregnant. That sin was just for a short time. But she becomes pregnant 9 months. She goes into disgrace her lifetime, but the sin was for a short time. How many girls who have gone into this disgrace, carrying the guilt in the heart, and yet that sin was just but for a short time? No, sometimes no pregnancy came. No, at all. Nobody saw. Nobody. But the guilt of that sin remains. That's why the devil says, you can go, but don't go very far to the cross. And he knows today, when we say, God, no, I've been playing games with my life. I'm walking all the way to the cross. All the way to the cross. I want you to deal with me. God will do it. He will take away that guilt. Bring you new life, new joy, new passion, new peace in your life. In your marriage, new peace, new joy, new love, new romance. Because God has stepped in. I'm married to this woman 40 years and I love her just as we started. And I thank God. I thank God. And so when you come to Christ, God is going to do great things. He says he chose. Now today you have to choose. It's a deliberate thing. You have to do it deliberate. God, yeah, I know I'm struggling with shame, with what, but I'm going to do a deliberate thing. I will choose today to be with God's people rather than to enjoy sin for a short time. Samson, it was for a short time. And then that sin of a short time, he was blind all his lifetime. He was blind all his lifetime. Thirdly, he disregarded, 26, he disregarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. What a great thing. You look ahead, there's a reward. So you look at disgrace, say, oh, reward, disgrace. Ah, you said, no, I'm looking for a reward. Then you say, hey, disgrace, shut up. I'm leaving you. I'm now looking at the reward. I'm stepping to the reward, to the crown. Wow, I'm stepping to the crown. Hallelujah. So you choose. Now the last thing by verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt. Now look at this. He left Egypt not fearing the king's anger. Because once you take the step to leave Egypt, all the rage and anger of demons, they are raging against you, but you have protection through the blood of Jesus. Because leaving Egypt, there was blood smeared. Smeared, is that right? When I see the blood, I'll pass over. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. Now you leave Egypt, you say, bye-bye, Egypt. Today I am going to my Lord. The devil, Pharaoh, was saying, don't go very far. But today I'm going all the way to Calvary. I'm going all the way to Golgotha. Because today I'm going to find my freedom. Today I'm going to find my freedom in Christ. I'm going all the way. Man, maybe you've been that Christian, you know, struggling all the time. You can't read your Bible. You find when you start reading your Bible, you're already yawning. You can't read your Bible, and maybe you start praying, you're already, you know, fast asleep. There's no passion, there's no zeal inside. Oh, may God rekindle that fire in your life. And you say, God, today I'm walking out. I've been so lazy reading my Bible. I've been, the devil has been saying, go, go, but I've been going halfway. But today I'm going all the way. I'm going to all, my brother, come, please. You say, God, I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. I'm not stopping halfway.
Hallelujah. Let's just stand.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.